morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and where my faith grows stronger and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Because greater is He that's in us, hallelujah, than he that's in the world. And to say that something can't be overcome is to say that God can't deal with it. He's with us. And if He's for us, who can be against us? Father, we thank You today that You are for us. What a comfort this is. What a strength this is to us to know, to be aware that the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is on my side, is for me. Thank You so much, gracious God. We ask for utterance, direction, help for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You.
Well, for a number of weeks now, we have been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're giving one after another 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. What makes me say that? I'm saying 30 major truths from the Word of God, hundreds of Scriptures, and that's not exhaustive. You could have 40 reasons, 50 reasons, 100 reasons. The list could just keep going. But what we're saying is God has revealed that He is a good God and a God of abundance, a God of richness, a faithful God who cares about His people, a good shepherd, hallelujah, who takes good care of His flock. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I believe that. And so we began with reason number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And now we got down to reason number 19 in our study with the tabernacle. And we saw when God asked for an offering to come and to build, or He told the people they could bring an offering, maybe is a better way to say it, and to build the sanctuary. And they brought 150, $200 million worth of gold, silver, precious stones, the finest woods, fabrics, everything. And that's what God wanted. Well, after all, who made it? Who made gold? Who made silver? And you know, what's heaven made out of? If you're reading Revelation. So these people that get all bent out of shape if something's nice or expensive or shiny or pretty, well, you better make a change before you get to heaven. Because or it's going to bother you. But if you're thinking right, if God likes it, why shouldn't we like it?
Amen.
Why shouldn't we enjoy it? And people say, well, you know, no, money's the root of all evil. It is not. That's a misquote. That's not what the Scripture said. Loving money, covetousness is idolatry. And the problem is thinking more about something else, wanting something else more than you do God. And craving something. And if you want something too much, you'll go too far.
Yes.
To get it. Amen. You'll compromise. And that's why people wind up lying, stealing, even killing to get things. And it is so ignorant and deceived because all this stuff is soon to be gone. All these things that you see are soon to be gone. And the eternal things that last forever is what should be more important to us. And yet, you can have plenty of material things to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. If you know it's His will, it gives you the foundation to have faith for it. So when we got to the end of our reason number 19, and we see all these people bringing all this gold and silver, and we remember these folks were slaves just not too many months ago. So where did they get all this? How did they get all this? Well, Psalm 105, 37 says that God brought them out from that Egyptian bondage with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes, and how that God remembered his promise to Abraham, and how that he gave them all this substance and had them on their way to inherit the lands of the heathen. He said these were false god worshipers that had been doing so for many generations, and how that you're going to get houses you didn't build, vineyards and orchards you didn't plant. And this is our reason number 20 we're calling the wealth of the sinner. And this is from Proverbs and other places that says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And we're seeing that this wealth that was among the Egyptians was brought into the hands of Israel. And then they had the means to build the tabernacle and all and a bunch of other things. They even had enough extra to make false gods out of. Bad idea. And but anyway, they just had, you know, what I'm saying is building the tabernacle didn't break them. They still had a lot of resources, and they're on their way to a whole lot more, to the promised land. But go with me back to Genesis again, the 15th chapter, and notice what the psalmist was referring to in Psalm 105. We're looking in Genesis 15, 13. During this cutting of covenant between Abraham and God, God spoke to him directly. And one of the things he told him in verse 13, he said, "Know of a surety, your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." And this is what Psalm 105:42 referred to, that God remembered this promise that was 400 years previous. How many know God never forgets his promise when he says something? It would do us a lot of good to remind ourselves frequently of how God sees time. See, to us, if something didn't come to pass by the end of the year, sometimes people start getting fidgety and going, "Well, what's going on? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" No, God told him, "I'm going to do this. It's going to be 4 centuries. And to God, you know, the Bible said to the Lord, a day's like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like a day. Well, then 400 years wouldn't be half a day. And that's not fantasy stuff. That's how he sees it. And he sees it right. It's us that have a distorted view of time because we are such babies. We just got here. And you look at little ones, you know, the younger you are, the longer you think a span of time is, right? I mean, you tell a 5-year-old, it's going to be a year. And they look at you like, a year? I mean, that's like a lifetime, right? But then you tell a 70-year-old, it's going to be a year. And they're like, I just got used to writing this year, you know? And now it's time to write. Well, that's just you've been around 70 years, 80 years. What if you've been around 80 million years? Huh? Our trillion years. Our number is too big to understand. That's God. And so he says that 1,000 years is like a day. So this 400 years, though it seems so long and too long for us to wait for in a lifetime, yet to God, not a long time. Not a long time. And, you know, in the epistle, Peter's epistle in the New Testament, he talks about people would mock in the last days and say, "Where's this coming? Where's this coming? Y'all been saying he's coming for 2,000 years. Yeah, 2 days. Right?
Right.
Oh, he's coming. I said, he's coming. But if the Lord said, I'm coming today. Is he talking about 1,000 years? You understand what I'm saying? That could be, I mean, if it's 200 years, that's too long for us to wait in this life, but we'll get to wait with him. And it'll be fine, but I'm saying it'd help us if often we'd remind ourselves how God sees time. And it would give us a different perspective. And so he said, after this 400 years, I'm going to judge them. They're going to come out with great substance. You'll go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried in a good old age. And he was. But in the fourth generation, they, your descendants, will come here again. And that's the land that he had given them, that Abraham had traveled through. And he told him, you know, he put his feet on it. And he said, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That's why it didn't happen then. That's why it was another 400 years. But then also, God's people fell into the idolatry of the place where they were, in Egypt. And so, how many know that God is just? In how he does things, why he does things, where he does, doesn't mean that it's all his perfect will.
That's right.
What people are doing or why. The iniquity of these Amorites certainly wasn't his will. If it was his will, how could he judge them for it?
Right.
And yet, that's why he's just in telling his people, I'm giving you all this land. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's theirs. Yeah, but they, you know, from God's perspective, they don't deserve it. They shouldn't have it. Because he's been raining on their crops. His sun's been shining on their field. You understand what I'm saying? They've been breathing his air. They've been using his gravity. And doing what with it? Worshiping Baal. We're burning babies. Bizarre. Horrific stuff. For generations. He has every right to say. Actually, he said this. He said the land itself is vomiting them out. That's what God said. The land, and that's why he warned his people, don't come in and start doing what they did. Because the land will vomit you out too. Now see, this didn't happen even in 100 years. But it happened. You see, as United States citizens, our whole country hadn't been around 300 years. You see what I'm saying? And see, we think that's a long time. And the reason we've been so blessed is because it began with seeking to worship God and to honor conscience. Hallelujah. And there's been some respect for God and there's been some freedom for the gospel. And God has blessed us and he has protected us and kept us. But if we quit, if we become like ungodly nations, and that goes on for very long, we could lose everything. So how many think we need to be one nation under God? Is that right?
Yes.
The God.
Yes.
The only God.
Yes.
And that way we get to continue and we get to be kept and protected and prosper. And he said, skip, go down to Exodus, the third chapter. He said, the fourth generation they'll come again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. We had read in previous verses that he warned them. He said, don't think that you're inheriting these lands because you're so righteous, because your heart's so good. It's because of their iniquity that they're getting pushed out. And God's giving his people an opportunity to do better than they did. And basically, we'll see what you do with it. Well, sadly, they, for too long, they started worshiping the same dumb idols that got these people displaced. When he says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, He's talking about what we'd call generational wealth is a big factor in this. And one of the things I'd mentioned yesterday that, you know, sometimes you'll hear people talking about end-time wealth transfer. I'm not saying that's altogether wrong idea, but one of the things you got to watch is covetousness. We are not allowed to covet what belongs to somebody else. Y'all with me or not? This is the Word of God from the beginning to this day. The New Testament warns. Colossians says, covetousness is idolatry. What got them thrown out of their land and displaced? Idolatry. Well, covetousness is. Not, it's not like it. It's not almost as bad. It's the same thing. If you long after things and places and money and stuff, and you keep that on your mind too much, then you'll get to the place where you are coveting what they have. Is this wrong, church? Is this wrong? Look with me. I tell you, for time's sake, don't go to that other place. We'll go with me to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Because when God gave the law, one of the first things He gave was the Ten Commandments. And anybody remember the last one? Number 10? Huh? Now, the first one is you shall have no other gods, right? So the first one and the last one are tied together, because we know that covetousness is idolatry. You'll have no other gods before me, and you don't make any statues or anything of any other god to bow down in front of them. And in the last one, number 10, Exodus 20 and verse 17, you shall not covet what? Your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Did he say it was wrong to want a house?
No.
No. Notice what he keeps repeating. What must you not covet? Your neighbor. Now, he didn't just say your brother. Your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Well, neighbor would be the only thing you'd be aware of. It'd be the people you're around. Right? Especially prior to TV and internet. Right? And airplanes and long distance travel, people would be born and live and die in a 20 mile radius area. And so the only things you would know about anybody that had something more than you would be people that you saw around you. Wouldn't have to be related. Wouldn't even have to know them that well, but they're your nearby neighbor. Nearby. And what did he say? You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Why? Because it's wrong for you to want a good house? Because it's wrong to you want to want a house as nice as theirs? That's not wrong either. What's wrong? Wanting their house. Now, the reason I mention this is because let me read to you from Deuteronomy 5, because this is mentioned again in Deuteronomy, restated. Deuteronomy 5:21, he said, neither shall you desire your neighbor's wife, neither shall you covet your neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is what? That is nice?
No.
Expensive?
No.
Pricey?
No.
What's the problem?
It's your neighbor's.
It's theirs. Yeah, but they're a sinner. Doesn't make any difference. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Some people have used the idea of the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. That means I can claim their stuff. I can covet and desire and claim. No, that's violating the one of the Ten Commandments. That's violating so many things, and it's so wrong. I mean, wanting somebody to die so you can get their stuff. Wanting somebody to be judged and replaced and out of the way. These things are too involved. They cover too much time and too many generations for us to even guess at. We are not qualified to judge people and what should or shouldn't happen. God knows. And He will get it right. And only He knows how to move these things from one group or place or one generation to the other. Only He can do it right. And when men try to get into it and do it, they do nothing but wrong and mess things up. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us, you know, that after the day of Pentecost, they're all filled with the Spirit and they are enjoying rich fellowship and times, and they were free-hearted and they had all things common. And I mean, people were liquidating, selling properties and putting it into the church and the kingdom. And you talk about giving. It was a high level of liberality and giving. And I've heard numerous people over the years talk about, well, see, that proves, you know, that the ideas of socialism and communism are right. They had all things common. That's commune. That's communism. That's socialism. But what they miss totally is what they want is for the government to enforce ideas and take things away from people who have it and distribute it to who they think ought to have it. Wrong. 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 That's stealing. That's stealing. And only God can get these things right. And you hear people talk about reparations. You ever heard that word before? Reparations. Well, this group was mistreated and this group should pay them back. And even generations later. And again, they're talking about men taking from other men. And then according to what they think, redistributing. And most of the time you'll find out that redistribution is here. I'm telling you. You watch and see. Oh yeah, everybody's gonna equal a share. Next thing you know, they're living in a big mansion. Huh? Next thing you know, they got millions in the bank. Where'd that come from? I'm telling you, it has happened over and over and over because man cannot do this right. So when we're talking about the wealth of the sinner winding up in the hands of the just, this is not something men can do. This is not something men are to try to do. God said, 400 years, they're going to be there. And then He said, I'm going to judge them. Oh, come on, did you hear that?
Yes.
I'm going to do it. And they're going to come out. And it took Him doing signs and wonders and miracles to get them out. But He's keeping His word. And He said, when they do, they're going to come out with great substance.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Where did it come from?
Him.
It came from the sinners, the Egyptians. It came from them. But this is the Israelites did not take them. Oh, come on. Can you see that? They did not take that by force. That's stealing. The devil is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And all these programs of we're going to take it away from the people that have it and give it to those that don't. Of the devil. I'm telling you. And it's sickening to hear people try to say it's God and it's Christianity and that's what Jesus would do. Did Jesus do that?
No.
It's nowhere in the scriptures. And that's not what happened in the early days of the church. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And they're being led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is dealing with them, and they are selling houses and property. They're being led by the Spirit. Nobody's making them do this. And when it's led by the Spirit, it's good. It's right. It's beautiful. It's a blessing. But nobody's making anybody do anything. So said out loud, I refuse.
I refuse.
To long for,
to desire, to
covet,
anything
that belongs to my neighbor,
anybody around me
that I see or know about.
God will give me my own,
the right way
and the right time.
I don't have to crave
what other people have.
Let them have theirs.
God will give me mine,
and I will lack for no good thing.
Hallelujah.
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 It's wonderful to be free. Well, our time's up again today. I'll see you soon back here in Faith School. If you're enjoyed being with you again this week, isn't it wonderful how good God is and how rich His plan for us is? Some years ago, after Phyllis and I had been in the ministry for a while, helping other folks, the Lord spoke to Phyllis and myself that He was going to give us our own. The Bible said, if you've been faithful in that which is another man's, God will give you your own. I know many of you are partners with us, so I have a right to believe this and speak this over you. You can have your own. Your own place to live, your own vehicles, your own things, your own business, your own equipment. God is this good. You don't covet somebody else's, but believe Him for your own. Father, I do. I join faith with all of our partners. And I ask You, Lord, to show them how to lay hold of what You want them to own and possess. Bring into their awareness and give them the ability to grow stronger and have the means and opportunity and favor and ability to lay hold of it and have their own. Blessed places that they can live and enjoy life and fellowship with You and be a great blessing to others. Hallelujah. I'm expecting it for you. It's coming to pass. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.